full welcome to the IPW, the gorgeous JR. JR, welcome.
That's right, Mr. Lee. The gorgeous one is here. After many weeks of contract negotiations, the JR and the IPW have finally got it together. 235 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. The men's fright and the women's delight. The toast of the coast with the utmost. And so fine, so very fine. I'm here for one reason and one reason only. That's to go after the gold and be the number one contender in this organization. I'm coming after all these wrestlers in the IPW. All of them, beware. JR is here. He's going to be there. He's going to be after you. So all of you get in line. I'm here for one reason, and that's to be number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gorgeous JR.
Baby, all and blow. It's a wrestling show.
Back again.
No one cares. Elbow drop jacket on the wrestling floor. Your Ric Flair.
Yeah.
See what I did?
He was always doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, late career Ric Flair. This is a thing he figured out after a while. The people like to see me strip.
They love to watch me wrestle so much. It doesn't matter if it's, you know,
the older I
my
get,
clothing.
The more they want me to be naked. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Don't ask me to explain the science.
Hey, guys, it's me, the guy Matt O, played by Matt O. With me, as always, is the guy who is Nate Adams.
Oh, hoy, hoy.
Played this week by Burt Lancaster.
Oh, wow. This is going to be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Not, yeah, I was gonna say,
Burt Lancaster, a person.
I've got a face.
I can put a name together.
I can come up with a face in my head. I can't tell you much more about a...
What does Burt Lancaster do when he's happy? What does Burt Lancaster do when he's angry? What does Burt Lancaster do when he's home?
I watch Sesame Street with you.
I don't know, you should have got the guy who played Lynn Belvedere. I could have done that.
Hi, Mr. Belvedere.
Hello, Danny.
Is Wesley here?
Yes, come on in. Everyone, you remember Wesley's friend, Danny?
Oh, hi, Danny. Hi, Mrs. Owens, Mr. Owens.
Hiya, champ. How's it going?
Well, I gotta eat, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Wesley.
You know what? This week...
Kevin?
This week, pal, you can be the Lynn Belvedere to my Bob Uecker.
Oh, that's really good. I feel like this is going to... They had great chemistry.
That's our tag
team. We've got a lot to live up to this week.
Just cook up a little fried cheese together.
Mm-hmm.
Call it a show. I'd rather talk about fried cheese.
Talk about fried cheese than this cheesy-ass 80s pro wrestling we're watching right here, brother.
It was... So bad. I don't know if I even have a modern wrestling topic to talk about.
I'll tell you what, we've seen worse episodes of wrestling before. So we're
I don't know. Maybe
this.
I'm just getting beaten down by it.
We've probably never seen a more throwaway episode of professional wrestling before, though.
Yeah,
because there was nothing new on the show, man.
Yeah,
all the storylines are still in the same place.
Yeah,
all the same people are still feuding with the same people.
Still mad because they're mad.
Davy Crockett. Had a new ring on this week, I think.
Oh, don't give it all away. Don't give it all away. Save a little bit for the
stuff. Nice watch.
Hey, good news. I figured out a wrestling topic.
Oh, good.
Current wrestling topic.
If we didn't continue this thing where we do our weekly breakdown of the current wrestling news, I feel like people start jumping ship off this.
Fallout from the Superstar Shakeup. Which show had the better draft, do you think?
Man, you're going to have to do a more broad topic than
I'm not going to be able to. That was just to make you squirm for a second.
To name who's on which show. Or
Bruno Sammartino died. Matters.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. What
do
you
Brune,
think?
You know, he was an old man.
Yeah.
There's one thing I know about old people. It's that they die.
True.
Looked to be in incredible shape for 120-year-old. So yeah. I guess probably, I imagine, like he lived
Mandelbaum.
As good a life as he could.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were actually booked to wrestle Hulk Hogan back in the day, correct?
Yeah, I think twice. Once I remember for sure at the Civic Center in Wheeling, West Virginia. And he didn't show up. No reason why. He just didn't show up, and Sergeant Slaughter took his place. He knew what kind of shape I was in, even at that age. Because anybody who knew me, they always knew that what kind of shape I was in that ring. And I really believe to this day, he knew that I would blow him up in about 10 minutes to where he wouldn't be able to catch his breath. Hmm. And he didn't want no part of it.
From what I understand, him and his son, David, did not repair whatever breach they had between them and still did not speak. So, you know, that's hanging out in the air. You got to imagine there's some sort of Bruno ghost that's going to be unfinished business haunting something.
Yeah.
That's dumb old son David could patch that shit up before his dad died.
He's upset because Bruno ruined his career.
When your dad dies, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Mm-hmm.
You go to his deathbed and then you have closure.
Oh.
That's what's great about dads. You don't ever have to see them until they're dying. End. Like, it's just one time.
What
it's
if you like
ripping
miss
a Band-Aid off and then it's done?
What if you're like out of town or like live out of state and you don't get there in time?
Well,
or like it's a car accident or something.
Yeah, I feel like then it's on your head, quite frankly.
All right,
yeah.
So it's kind of a dangerous game you play.
Well, unless you want to be one of these people that has a regular relationship with their dad, but who wants that? It's, you know, tit for tat. You're taking the trade. If you're not going to have a relationship with your father, you have to at least stare in his eyes while he's dying.
I feel like I should have done the Cats in the Cradle theme song this week.
There's still time. Still time to fit some of that in here.
Yeah.
Picturing that scene in a Magnolia where Tom Cruise goes to James Robard's deathbed.
Oof.
And then he does all that like hemorrhaging and like squeezing his hands together.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom Cruise. I don't care what people say about that weird religion he's in. He's a dynamite actor.
Yeah, he should have won a little statue for that.
I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry for you. You cocksucker, I know you can hear me. I want you to know that I hate your fucking guts. You can just fucking die, you fuck. And I hope it hurts. I fucking hope it hurts.
I want some sort of estranged father who we're trading barbs, and then he dies, and then I'm like, fuck you, old man.
Plus,
then he's like, you never beat me. You never beat me once.
No.
Asshole. Oh, God, you fucking asshole. Don't go away, you fucking asshole. Don't go away, you fucking asshole. Oh, God, don't go away, you fucking asshole.
Plus, Tom Cruise's hair was really cool in that movie.
Okay, let's get through this rundown first.
And then we'll
has been brought to us this week by Rampage, the number one movie in the country.
Oh.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh.
And CG Monsters.
He sounds like a promising up-and-comer.
He's, you know, some current wrestling news. He had a little baby daughter.
Ooh.
Maybe this morning.
His third
maybe yesterday.
One. I think
I don't
today.
Know.
I want to say today.
Either way, he had put a nice Instagram post up there of him, like, in a
shirtless
bed. Shirtless with the baby on his breast.
Like
as if
gave
like, yeah, he
birth?
Just, yeah. It looked like he just, like, fucking squirted out this baby.
He's doing it all. He might have.
The Rock, you are a master of just like trolling the internet for likes.
Yeah.
Him and Beyonce, if they ever like joined forces, I don't know what would happen.
They could be the next presidents.
Yeah, I feel like there'd be a dictatorship.
Wow.
King and queen for life, Beyonce and The Rock.
Bay Rock.
So, congratulations to The Rock.
Rock-onse.
Rock's new baby is promoting this rundown. WCW.
She's got money.
February 13th, 1988.
It was awful.
The day before Valentine's
Day. Go ahead.
Love is in the air.
Hey, if this show was one day later, they could have called it a Valentine's Day massacre.
Yeah. First match. AA Arn Anderson is in there versus John Savage. AA wins with the Gourd Buster.
Randy's brother.
Second match, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert is in there against David Isley.
The third Isley brother.
Gilbert wins with the Hot Shot.
You're contagious.
Third match, Road Warrior Hawk. He's in there. It's a handicap match. He's in there against Ryan Wagner and Keith Steinborn. He does a bunch of shoulder blocks and then like a top rope shoulder block and then it's done. It's real quick.
I don't have any family.
All these matches?
There.
Here's a connection between all these matches. It's a guy and a jobber and they all end in 20 seconds.
Huh.
There's a bit of a pattern forming.
Huh.
The Jive Tones.
Yeah.
They're in there versus Gary Royal and Mike Jackson.
Jive Tones are who? Win it. What were their names? Did you get them this week?
I didn't write them down. Tiger something?
Shasta Watley.
Shasta Watley and Tiger
and
Jet Singh.
Tiger Conway Jr.
Tiger Conway Jr. sounds like a great baseball player.
Sounds like a great anything.
If you had his rookie card, it'd be worth a lot.
Hell yeah.
They win after a weird double face plant thing, and then they turn it into a double Russian leg sweep. Tony keeps calling it a neck breaker, but it's not.
Yeah, he'll learn wrestling
Tony,
one day.
I don't know. You've been doing this for a few years now, man. You should probably learn the moves. Speaking of needing to learn some more wrestling moves, Lex Luger, he's in there doing some armbar stuff that apparently Ole Anderson
taught him over the weekend.
Very impressive. He beats Alan Martin.
Chris Martin's uncle.
Wins it with that human torture wreck.
Questions aside.
I'll tell you what, listening to Coldplay music, that's a human torture wreck if you ask me. Ricky Santana, he's jobbing to... Oh, no, wait, he's not the jobber. He's apparently the name guy they're trying to convince us. He's in there versus Tommy Angel. Santana wins with the flying crossbody. The Lightning Express, our favorite tag team. Tim Horner, one of the Armstrongs. I can't keep him fucking straight.
Brad, I want to say.
Bradley Armstrong. They're in there versus Curtis Thompson and Max MacGyver, our boy.
Yeah.
Our boy.
Scott Thompson.
Canadian hero,
and,
Max MacGyver.
MacGyver's brothers.
Horner wins the pin after they do an assisted leg drop. It's like an atomic drop almost, but then instead of putting his knee out, he drops him on the opponent.
And
that's
almost,
a fun little move.
Who cares?
But then the Sheepherders and Johnny Ace, they care because they come out.
Ooh, those sons of bitches.
They jump to Lightning Express. Tim Horner takes a flagpole to the gut. And he gets
real
salty about it.
A real flagpole sitter.
He gets real fired up. TV title match. Who said these are all throwaway jobber matches? Mike Rotunda, the TV champion. He's defending against Rocky King. He's just a jobber who loses. Double underhook suplex. Rotunda gets the pin. And then he pinches his nuts real hard while he's pinning him. It looked painful.
Yeah.
I don't know why he did it.
Yeah.
But I was wincing.
Well, I know, but...
Sting, the Stinger, the man called Sting. He's in there versus Bob Riddle.
The Riddler's
This guy's
brother.
The king of the squash match in 1988. You know how it goes? It lasts for like 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Stinger splash scorpion.
I hope he lasts a little longer in the sack. Am I right, ladies?
Yeah, big six-man tag. We got the Barbarian. We got the Warlord. We got their regular partner, Ivan Koloff. They're in there against three jobbers that they didn't bother to put a name
Randy
title
Hogan,
thing up for.
Steve Atkinson and Gene Miller.
Randy Hogan looks like Hulk Hogan's grandfather.
Yeah,
and he's
pretty
awesome.
Hilarious.
He's awesome.
It's a dig. It's a shot, brother.
Yeah, Koloff gets a win after dropping a, you know, elbow.
Shoulder thingy,
elbow
I said.
On Warlord's shoulder.
Yeah.
This guy's up on his shoulder, and then Koloff and drops an elbow on him. It's a devastating maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
You probably think the
we gotta be
show
out of
would
matches.
Be over.
Like, that's got to be like three matches.
But every week we fall for this little trick. No, there's a couple more going on.
Oh, God. Jesus.
I gotta tell you, at this point, I definitely was not watching anymore. Like, I'd pause it every once in a while when, like, the title screen for a new match would come up, and I'd be like, okay, gotta write this match down.
Yeah.
But then, like, instantly, I'd start my just drifting off again and not paying any attention.
Yeah, thinking about, like, other things I could be
anything,
doing with my
absolutely
life.
Absolutely anything. Oh, look, I had a text message 2 weeks ago from a number that's not programmed into my phone.
Maybe
I
should
follow
respond.
Up on that. Yeah. Ron and Jimmy
New
Garvin.
New number. Who dis?
They're in there versus the Red Raider. Masked Man, the Red Raider. Joe Cruz.
Apollo Cruz's brother.
Garvin pins the Raider after a punch. And then he does that patented teabag where he squats down and drops his nuts on the guy's nose.
That's pretty cool.
It's a weird way to pin people, Ronnie Garvin. One more match. Shane Douglas, big debuting youngster, fresh-faced, full of fire.
He was the 86th Rookie of the Year.
86th Rookie of the Year in the NWA. I didn't get any confirmation that he was ever on the World Championship Wrestling
program. JR stated he was on a televised match. Yeah.
Okay.
In the NWA.
Couple more years of seasoning after he was already the Rookie of the Year. This guy's got a big future in his front of him as far as I'm concerned. So much so that he's able to beat George South.
He's able to beat George South
with a sleeper hold. He probably did some drugs. What of it? Big deal. Who hasn't?
Hey, Raven.
The wrestling game.
Hey, Raven, you got any more of those drugs you had last week?
Oh, no, sorry. I did all of the drugs, but...
Ah, no, I shouldn't ask Raven.
If you have any drugs, yeah, I'd like to have some of those drugs. That's pretty much every conversation in the UCW locker room.
I'm too old. Ask Chris Candido.
There you go.
See what I did there?
Terry Funk's got some of the drugs.
Oh, yeah, that works, too. He's the turtle. And then Chris Candido is that drug-doing owl in the commercial.
This five count right here. I'm protesting. I'm only doing a four count.
Hey, real quick.
Fuck a five count.
No, I put a five together.
I'm doing a four count. This is a silent protest.
That's fair. What was that bullshit at the end of that Shane Douglas match?
Mm-hmm.
He puts him to sleep with the sleeper, and then JR, Shivani, one of them's like, oh, you got to make sure you wake him up real quick. It's important.
Oh, yeah, they did. Like, he slapped the guy in the back of the neck, and then they act like...
First, he, like, shook his head a little, like, hey, buddy, you okay? And then he slapped him and, like, walked away.
Yeah, they're acting like if you leave him out too long, he'll get brain damage or something. Like, the entire time after he's been in a sleeper hold, he's still not breathing or something.
Yeah.
There's no oxygen going to his brain. But they said it, like, of course. Everyone's ever done after every wrestling match that ended in a sleeper hold, like, oh, there's the pin, now wake him up real quick.
The referee doesn't do it. You put his ass to sleep, you wake him up.
It was weird.
In case he comes out swinging.
I'd never seen it before. Must be an old school thing before my time.
I just goaded you into a fifth count. Ha ha ha.
And I'm going down to three.
Oh, shit. Never mind then. Keep
Fuck this
head.
Episode of television.
Do you think it was probably because, like, that ending move got a little botched there? I'm guessing that was on George South.
Yeah, he looked like he was trying to do some pop-up, like, reversal, which Douglas was, but then, like, they just kind of ended standing next to each other, so he was like, I guess I'll put him in a sleeper.
So I'm guessing, like, that was him slapping him, like, way to fuck it up. I'm the Rookie of the Year.
You made me look like a goddamn moron out there.
And not the Rookie of the Year from 2 years ago.
I just got over my sophomore slump. I'm trying to get back in the game.
You penis. Okay. Oh, where are we? Oh, I gotta go back to the top.
We're in the five count. This is the part of the show where we do the five count.
Okay, my first one.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Yeah.
It's called Format Your Fucking Show.
Is that like to us, or are we talking about the TV we're watching?
Yeah, I mean,
now?
We could.
We got a solid format, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel
from
like
that one segment into the next segment.
If you're listening to this
shit really flows.
Yeah, if you're listening to this right now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say abandon ship now and go back and listen to that one from last week, because what a good time it was.
Definitely.
The reviews are in. That show.
We had so much more to talk about.
That show was hot. People.
I felt good doing it.
Most listened to show of all time.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
The people were. But yeah, format your fucking show. And what I mean is you have a format right now of squash interview, squash. Interview.
It's a
squash.
Very,
interview.
Very
squash. Interview.
Very
squash,
rigid
interview.
Format.
Squash. Interview. Squash. Interview.
They did not deviate from it once.
No, no. Like in weeks leading up to this episode, they were going in this direction.
Oh yeah.
And like this is, I feel, the first show where they were just like, well, fuck it, let's just every time you wrestle, you talk. You wrestle, you talk.
I feel like this was the week where really nobody put any thought into the show whatsoever.
We got really hurt by Dick Murdoch not being there.
That always hurts.
So you didn't get to hear him talk.
Captain Redneck tearing up the set, you know, taking mics out of people's hands. He always busts up that format a little bit, adds a little bit of chaos into the show.
Every one of these matches was a squash, and some of them were unfortunately not 20 seconds. So, like, instead of just being like, man, I'm bored of just watching these quick matches all the time, you'd find yourself bored because it'd be like, I know this guy's not going to lose. Just end the match.
Those were the times when I found myself realizing that I hadn't been paying attention to anything for like the last 5 minutes. And I was like, ooh, podcasting about this is going to be a little bit rough tonight because you kind of got to pay attention to something to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, line up those whiskeys. We'll make something
up. Sorry.
What was my other thing? Yeah, with the format.
Got a shot of Rittenhouse rye I'm sipping on here. A little throw out to them. They're a nice product. A little bit higher proof than your normal rye, but just as tasty. Works great in cocktails. Mm. Rittenhouse, you want to send us some money, you know, send it this way.
I've got Wisconsin's Best, Moon Man by New Glarus. American New Pale Glarus. Ale.
You love their stuff.
That's all right. I just got a lot of it in my fridge.
You really
fridge.
Need to get some, to
get through it.
Some ad money from those guys.
Yeah.
Pushing their shit.
Well, yeah, somebody's got to. Yeah, for you idiots drinking Spotted Cow, Moon Man's where the flavor is.
So anyways.
Format. Get one.
What sort of format would you like?
Here's one of my big problems, and I've brought it up in the past, how everybody gets a chance to talk every week. And
sure
it's
do.
Annoying because it's like,
practice
yeah.
This makes perfect.
Yeah, I get it. You're angry. You brought that up last week and the week before. And then they start talking about all these different shows and they're talking about Philly, and they're talking about somewhere else. I don't
got
even
a lot of
fucking know
up.
Anymore.
Fingers in a lot of pies.
And with all these people, everybody getting a chance to talk, you look like a pussy or an idiot. Because like some guy's out there screaming about how much of a dipshit you are, and then 5 minutes
Who
later, you
bust his head.
You come out and be like, "Well, you know, like he said this, but like he's the dummy."
Yeah, if you guys are so into fighting, why don't you fight? You're both in the same TV studio.
Like you mentioned earlier, the sheep herders come out and jump Lightning Express, right?
Good on them.
And then they heal it up. What's-his-face brings in a chair. Sheep herders hightail it. And instead of being like, we're pissed.
Brad Armstrong brought in that chair. He saved his partner.
Yeah, instead of...
They got each other's backs. That's what tag team partners do. That's what Luger let us know in his interview he cut this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead of like going after them because they were pissed, they were like, we're pissed and we'll take a second to talk to you about it, Dave
now
Crockett.
Now we're just going
to
stand around here with this, you know, hillbilly with a pinky ring.
Yeah.
Tell them about how upset we are. And those guys are still just over there. Like,
yeah,
two
we
doors
know
down.
This. We know this because they come out 10 minutes later to talk about what they did.
If this was 90s wrestling, we'd be cutting to a backstage brawl.
Yeah. Like, get your heads out of your
Not
asses.
80s wrestling. I guess they couldn't move the cameras around that good. The cameras were pretty huge back then.
Like, we were watching this shit in, what was it, 85 we were watching?
Oh, I remember those days.
And at least that had some variation to it. You had, like, sit-down interviews and stuff.
There's... They're giving Dusty a lot more rope to go out there and just take over huge segments of the show is what it was.
Oh, God. This is bad.
My number one's talking about that Arn Anderson match.
Okay.
How I've never seen a more boring Arn Anderson match. Just like normal Arn Anderson aggression. Just sort of normal Arn Anderson having a little snap to everything he does. It was not there. He was just like going through the motions very clearly. Looked like he was wrestling in slow-mo. Just doing his moves.
Yeah.
Drop a knee. Do a DDT.
Doing another move.
And, like, he went on too long. He could have pinned that guy halfway through it.
Oh, goddamn, I'll do another move here.
Could have cut a couple minutes off that. And then it was, like, over with the Gourd Buster. Paint by numbers. Arn didn't want to be there. Nobody wanted to be there.
I really felt like he was going to wrap it up with the Spine Buster.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's a bit. It was really impactful. Just pin him.
I really
feel
like
he did three
more
moves.
This just factors into this format. Everybody was doing the same fucking cookie cutter shit. Nobody wanted to be there. Nobody was paying any attention to what they were doing. No big stories were happening. Nothing was happening on those episodes.
No.
Everybody was just phoning it in. They probably didn't even know what episode they were fucking filming.
No.
It's probably just got filmed in the middle of a chunk of like 24 fucking episodes or something.
Yeah.
And these are all the random matches that happen to get cobbled together to fill the air this week because they got a fucking another week to stretch things out to. But then after the match, Arn Anderson was just dripping in fucking sweat.
Yeah.
Just covered, just everywhere. Dripping all over the microphone, dripping all over fucking Davy Crockett's hand when he's holding the mic out.
Yeah.
And then Lex Luger had the same squash match. And then afterwards, he was so sweaty that all the studio lights were just glaring and creating like a bright white blinding thing. He had such a thick layer of sweat. And
Micro Tunda, too. He looked
sickly. Maybe it's just too hot in that studio this week.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have any air conditioning or something. It's like 140. Everybody's got heat stroke. Like, they're barely getting through things. For the little amount of, energy these people were putting into these matches, they were coming out of them looking like they just fucking went swimming in a big tub of spit. It was gross.
Sickening.
I think this could have just been like some dog days of summer action where everybody was like, Georgia's terrible. We got to get out of this state. So that was one of the ones I was going to talk about.
Yeah. They all looked sweaty.
My other one is...
good point.
Paul Ellering was wearing a white Hard Rock Cafe hat. This is not a very good way to look tough when you're the manager of like the big rough and tumble tough guys.
Well, that's a lot of Paul Ellering's thing was not looking very tough because he was just wearing weird shit.
Never
like
really
a dad.
Understood him. Never understood why they needed a manager.
No.
Never understood what he was doing.
Yeah, they always did like most of the talking. 9 times out of 10, he just stood there swatting a newspaper. Like he just lost on the ponies.
Too much talking on this episode.
Always. WCW.
Let those jive tones talk.
That was good.
And they were hollering.
That
and
was cool.
Real good.
Yeah.
But then they just went too long, and I was like, oh, they're doing the classic Luger. Now they're not making any sense.
I don't know. They did call Dusty Rhodes, you old brick face.
That was pretty good. But then he ended it with, what was it, Shasta, I think, was the one hollering at the end. He's like, I got something for all you suckers out there. I'm going to put something on you that you know can't take it off. And I was like, ooh, you lost the thread on that.
Yep.
That's not a real sentence.
Nope.
It's like, they let you talk too long, man.
Yep.
And right when I was thinking in my head, ooh, they let you go too long, Davy Crockett's like, coming up next, Lex Luger. And I was like, fuck. And then Luger did that squash match, and then he talked.
Yeah.
And he talked for way too long, Matt.
No, here's the thing.
Gave one of those Luger promos where all his words started blending together and I couldn't tell the words. Yeah, I'm not even going by a format this episode. I'm throwing the format out. I'm going down my list of notes here and I'm just saying
you
stuff.
You had a bit of malaise there, sir, because Lex Luger made it all the way through. And he brought up valid things
the entire way through. A lot of valid things over and over again.
But he did it.
Like he's going down a checklist.
He didn't, well, he was, but he made it through
for
once.
And he was mush-mouthed and I couldn't understand half the words
he
was saying.
He's always mush-mouthed. But he never said anybody's names wrong. He did it, man. I was watching this and I was like,
I got the point. 1/4 of the way through his interview.
Yeah.
Him and Barry Windham are a tag team now and they hate the Horsemen.
Yeah.
He didn't have to go through every fucking person on the roster. Like,
no.
Me and Barry Windham
can wrestle
Arn Anatoly.
They all do that.
Then also, I'd like to wrestle Ric Flair. But then also, Barry might wrestle Ric Flair. Next, Sting's going to wrestle Ric Flair. But once he's wrestling Ric Flair, I'd like to get a shot at Ric Flair.
That's the thing.
But
they
the
do,
point
though.
Is that now, what's next is that we're going to be wrestling Arn Anatoly because we're a tag team now.
Yeah.
But also, I just want you to know, also, we're going to wrestle Arn Anatoly, but also we're going to wrestle Ric Flair.
He didn't
There's going to be a lot of wrestling.
He didn't do a single one more thing.
Yeah, it was because he had 3 or 4 more things.
Yeah, he just...
One more thing would have been
a
lie.
He had a checklist and he made it through it. Let's back it up a little bit here to that hot stuff, Eddie Gilbert versus Dave Eisley.
Hot stuff. Always nice to see him out there.
Yeah, I was just happy to see him. He did a good job. He really had the crowd hating him.
Liked when he walked away from his match for
stuff.
A few seconds to just yell at Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, hey, there's that hot stuff on TV. He's pretty great.
Just break that like fourth wall down. Like, hey, we're all just in like a 30-foot by 30-foot TV studio.
Why are you watching a monitor?
I could stay walk over here and be in the interview like 2 steps. It takes 2 steps. All these people pretending like they got to holler at these people who just jumped them and shit when these guys are 15 feet away. Nah, you don't have to.
No.
You can just walk to the other side of the room and there all this shit is.
Yeah, why are you watching a monitor? But my real thing I wanted to bring up for this match was the grandma who looked like she stepped out of The Conjuring.
I don't think I saw any grandmas.
Oh, just talk about something for 5 seconds while I pull up this little shot for you.
Okay,
so
sounds
you can get
good
a
that you were
good
look of he was in there versus
what she looks like.
David Eisley. I don't have anything to say about him.
And there she is.
Okay, you've got a picture of a woman. She's got her thumb up, but a very angry sort of demonic look on like a sunken in gray face with big scary like demon teeth, and she's wearing a sweatshirt of some sort that has like doilies around the shoulders.
Yeah.
She looks like she's dressed in doilies. Yeah, that's a terrifying looking woman. And nobody around her looks like they're there with her.
No, I think she was there by herself.
She's definitely there alone. We'll have to put this one up on the Instagram.
I think there was some kind of conjuring going on.
Let people
in there.
Know the why this episode was just so boring. Why nobody was trying. Everybody was so off. These matches.
The witch Bathsheba was there.
Everybody was just like, "Let's get this done and get the fuck out of here before this bitch makes all of our skin turn inside out and we just bleed everywhere."
Yeah, you need some of that. Suspiria.
That was a scary woman.
Disordinate, like crazy, creepy,
weird noises.
Noise music going on.
Strange colors.
Because that's the feel of it.
That's the feel of it.
It was terrifying.
I gotta tell you.
What's up?
My notes on that match.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
Yeah.
I didn't write anything about that.
Yeah, no. That's how this episode was, man. It was just bad.
I got a note about Alan Martin. I said, he looks like one of the extras during an execution scene in a medieval movie who's like throwing rotten cabbage at the person getting executed.
Nice. Yeah.
So I liked him as a jobber. I got my eye on Alan Martin.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
I mean, Luger got him up in that torture rack and beat him, but I was like, this guy's got a real shabby look that I'm into.
I watched Knight's Tale over the weekend.
That Heath Ledger movie?
Yeah, I'd never seen that.
I have not seen it. Would you recommend that I fix that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger. He died of drugs, right?
Oof.
Trying to think back.
Depends who you ask. But yeah. Davey R. Scheister was trying to tell me that the Olsen twins killed him. This was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I told him to shut his mouth before I drop him on that stack of dimes
watching,
he calls a neck.
You're watching Night's Tale with your brother?
No. The Olsen twins were brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And he started poo-pooing them. And he's like, they killed Heath Ledger.
Kind of like how Lane Staley killed Shannon Hoon,
yeah,
according
I guess
to that rambling old man who cornered us in the bar one night.
Yeah.
Told us that he used to do a lot of beer bongs with Shannon Hoon down in Lafayette, Indiana, back when he was...
Well, you know who killed Shannon Hoon?
Lane Staley. And he was telling us about how his wife was out of town on business, so he's going to try to cheat on her with this Mexican girl he met at a
Ted
Nugent concert.
Yeah, that was weird.
I'd never cheat on my wife. Don't get me wrong. I would never cheat on my wife.
But she is out of town.
But my wife's out of town for like a whole week, and I met this Mexican girl at a Ted Nugent concert, so I'm going to cheat on my wife. I never cheat on my wife, though. Yeah. I would never, never.
See, I never just did things just to do them. Come on, I mean, what am I going to do? Just all of a sudden just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch like it's you know, something to do? Come on, I got a little more sense than that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie's couch.
That guy had a lot of stories and was cool, and it sucks that we never really came across him again.
Yeah, it's not too late to abandon this episode and just instead talk about weird things people have told us at the bar.
I wish
we could get a five count out of that.
I wish we could have brainstormed that a little bit before we sat down, because I definitely come up with a lot more interesting shit than I've heard out here in these Indiana bars. Rather than on there on that TBS television.
Hey, that Dave Isley, he really did a terrible job taking that hot shot from Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah, he's supposed to take it around the neck or something.
He landed
on
like
took it
nipples.
On his titty. Yeah,
like nipple to nipple. He's just like, I don't want to hurt my neck there, Eddie.
Like, how does that hurt any more than just like bouncing off the ropes any other time you do it in any match?
Excuse me, Eddie. I don't want to fall on my
Maybe
on my
if you weren't so damn chubby, Eddie would have been able to get you up higher on that and bring you down harder, man.
You dummy.
It's time to hit the gym, David Isley.
You dummy.
I want to talk about the Dream Match.
Oh, the promotion?
Yeah.
Brought to you by?
Dream Match. Dream Match.
Yeah.
Dream Match. They're doing a write-in sweepstakes.
Yes, correct. Keep it going.
It was really weird. Davy Crockett was setting it up for us. He just went to this video where... Literally, it was like 45 seconds of a voice yelling, "Dream Match! Dream Match!" And I was like, what could this be? This sounds like, I don't remember there being some huge pay-per-view called Dream Match or whatever.
They just kept showing like grainy Dick Murdoch footage.
And then it turns out,
with effects on it.
It's just a thing where you write in your name and stuff, and then you can win a sweepstakes and get all sorts of great prizes.
Like?
Like British Knight shoes.
Boom.
Huffy bicycles.
Boom.
VCRs.
Boom.
A trip to an exotic Texas resort.
That was the best.
Or a shopping spree in New York.
For $15,000 in electronics.
I was really impressed with these prizes. I was like, damn.
That's a five bro, that was a 5-day, 4-night stay.
These people are like 6 months away from having to sell their company. They're going out of business because Vince McMahon keeps sabotaging all their pay-per-views, and they've just spent like all their money trying to get into pay-per-view, and it's failed. And yeah. They're throwing shit away, buying all the kids British Knights. Maybe not the smartest time to do the dream match, David Crockett.
Did you ever have any British Knights?
I would have liked some, but, you know, I wasn't fucking rich Southern boy like Davy Crockett.
I do believe
my pinky rings and my Rolex watches.
I owned at least
living in my brother's basement.
One pair. I might have had two.
I remember them as being something that was regularly given away on children's game shows, but yeah. I don't know that I ever saw them in a store.
Oh, they had them in Illinois, man.
Kind of just like bun bars and whatever orange juice, just yeah. like a thing that exists only to be given away as a prize on children's programming.
I've had all of it. I had a sweet pair of British Knights, and I think I want to say I had a signature pair, like the Derek Coleman.
Who's Derek Coleman?
He's number 44, played for the Nets, man.
What are the Nets? This is a New Jersey team?
Group out of Jersey. Well,
what
they
are
were.
You doing buying shoes from a New Jersey guy?
Like the Derek Coleman, you know?
I had some Larry Johnson fucking Reeboks. Because
yeah.
he had fun commercials. It makes sense.
Coleman was a bad dude, man. Mess you up.
Did he have funny commercials?
No, he didn't.
He didn't have any sort of like cross-dressing characters that he would play?
No.
All right.
Then my mom wouldn't let me get British Knights anymore because she heard about the BK Killers.
That's ringing a bell right there. Yeah. What was that?
That was one of those, like, you know how there was the homie the clown guy mm-hmm. that would yeah. ask you which way you were going?
Yep.
And then he hit you with the brick.
I remember there being like a white van shotgun killer at one point everybody was warning you against. Yeah. There's a lot of just like a vague,
stickers with,
trust me, this killer
stickers
is out
with
there
acid
doing.
On them.
People who would flash their bright lights at you at night, and if you flashed them back,
right,
they'd turn around
they'd
and kill you.
Yeah.
That's scary to think about.
The BK Killers were like that, and they were a gang, and if you had British Knights on, they'd kill you.
That's a lot of people to kill.
Yeah.
I think the cops would have been more on that. Yeah. Like, they're literally murdering thousands of people who have been on game shows every day. We gotta catch these guys.
Like,
they're making a fool of us.
What point?
The papers are on our ass every morning.
What point is it where you're a mom and you're like a perfectly functioning member of society and then all of a sudden
you hear something like that.
Something happens and your brain breaks
that
one
must
day
be
and
true.
You're like, well, that's got to be it's got to be truth. It's got to be a fact.
That's true. Moms who are generally just like the solid rocks of society who drag us all through our dumb childhoods and make sure everything's going right and make sure they believe a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, yeah, BK killers, that's probably a thing.
Yep, hey, yeah, no, that sounds legit.
Don't go outside with your hair wet
or
you'll catch a cold because that's how viruses work.
I hate arguing this one with grown people in the jail all the time.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of
like,
people in the jail.
You know,
who are
I
like,
was
oh,
outside, I didn't have
I need a
hat
blow dryer.
On.
I need a blow dryer.
It's like, just because cold makes your nose run doesn't mean you're sick. You can't get sick.
You're sick because you're in a jail and there's so many diseases
in
here.
Without germs. You can't. It just doesn't happen. Or like if you go to bed with wet hair.
When I was sick all the time,
mm-hmm.
my mom would be like, oh, you're sick. You know what that means? We got to go buy a case of 7-Up because you got to drink 7-Up because that's what makes you well.
That's pretty cool, though.
What the fuck does that mean?
Drink
this high fructose corn syrup because that's how illnesses are cured.
The bubbles helped your tum-tum, and you were at least drinking fluid. You need fluid.
Bubbles do not help your tum-tum.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe a little bit. Then give me some fucking seltzer water. And you'd be drinking pure syrup.
I was a Canada Dry man.
Canada Dry would be
sick,
nice. I could see that.
If I was
that.
Sick, I wanted a
I
nice ginger
that.
Ale.
7-Up? She literally thought it was like medicine.
Don't hand me that Seagram shit.
Where's all this shit come from?
I don't know, man.
Moms.
I don't know.
There's just part of their brain that doesn't work, I think.
Yeah, and again, like you said, they're the rocks, so I give them credit. They're putting like so much work into just being
I guess
the cornerstone.
They go so unappreciated that they're bound to go a little crazy.
Yeah, jeez.
Speaking of crazy.
Yeah?
What the fuck's Kevin Sullivan doing still wearing his wizard robe when they're working this whole we're college jocks gimmicks?
Yeah, like,
everybody
why
else
they
is in their college singlet.
Happen?
They're acting like fucking meathead jocks. Kevin Sullivan's still out there wearing a wizard's robe with like a bloody sickle on the back of it.
Yeah.
And then just cutting promos like
looks
some
like
sort
an
of
asshole.
Racist Massachusetts dad.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. Like, he's not even like, I'm spooking creepy. He's just like, Jimmy Gavin. Gavin.
You know what?
Gavin.
There's a woman out there with him, and if
hey,
I ever...
Baby,
if that woman comes
woman.
Anywhere near me, I swear I'm gonna backhand her.
And then I'm gonna rape her.
If you ask me, the Gavin brothers, I think they're a couple of queers, quite
couple
frankly.
Of queers. I saw them playing with their swords in the back, if you know what I mean.
Like, yeah, cool. You're gonna cut promos like that. Lean into that. Be fucking racist, homophobic Massachusetts dad. That's a great character everybody knows.
You could be jock guy and
everybody
still
can relate
that.
To that.
You can be jock guy and still be there.
I like it cool if he was like the jock guy's like racist dad though.
Yeah.
And he was just more of like a sitting in a recliner drinking beers yelling at his son.
You're
he's
not
like,
working
oh, you need
hard
to get
enough.
Out there yeah. and practice.
That's why you're a bunch of soft figs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You go, you tell that hat on coach that I'm expecting you to get 10 more minutes in the game this week. I'm sick of him benching you. We're gonna have words. We're gonna have words.
They had that fat kid the other day playing instead of you guys.
I don't care about what's fair. Give me a break. Life isn't fair. You think me working down at the plant for the last 30 years, never getting a raise is fair?
Now go get me another lager.
Oh, love it. Loggers.
Yeah. One of my points, I don't know what number we're at or whatever.
Nope.
But,
I refuse to pay attention to that.
Mike Rotundo. I just love that guy.
Yeah.
Every week.
Every week you're falling more and more in love with him. I can tell.
I don't get it.
The little hearts in your eyes right now. They're shaped like little hearts.
I don't get
see
it.
See little puppies running
how
circles
he wasn't
around your head.
Huge, man. He's out there. He wrestles. He wrestles fine. He wrestles like a dickhead bully.
And then
he wins. And
he does look like a dickhead
bully.
He
comes back and he's just talking shit to people and he's looking like an idiot and he's getting in. Like almost fist fights with Steiner because they're morons, and Steiner keeps scratching his head,
yeah, like
and digging
they,
in his ear.
How they're working they're like these guys are a team,
oh,
but they don't
God.
Really like each other, and they got nothing in common.
So amazing!
They could just get like a manager, mouthpiece type guy who makes sense standing next to him. It'd be a decent presentation.
The only part of the promo where they work together is when fucking Taskmaster's like at the Dusty Rhodes won his third Bull of the Woods. And Mike Rotundo just goes,
speaking of which.
It was weird.
That was super weird. It was kind of just like a big pig noise he was making.
Yeah.
And there was one match where a guy in the crowd was just doing pig calls the entire match. And it got really annoying.
I didn't even notice.
Suey! Suey, suey, suey! Suey! It's not like there was any like fat girls out there or anything that he was doing like a
might have been.
Classic 80s.
Oh,
like,
no, there was a couple.
I'm doing pig calls at you. Well, I'm sure there wasn't the crowd, but I mean, like, there wasn't anybody in the ring, like, no chubby heel women that he was doing that at. And I was just like, dude, you live in the South. Everybody knows you live in the South. Like, have some fucking shame about it. Just yelling. You get your one chance to be on TV.
Where's your
just
dignity?
Yelling
have some shame.
Pig calls into the fucking microphone the entire time, annoying everybody. Christ. If I was in the South, I would be ashamed of it. I'd be trying to put on airs all the time. Like, oh, no. We're not really like this in the South.
Yeah.
I know I got a little bit of an accent, but, you know, I've read a book or two, you know, it's not like I'm a pig farmer or nothing.
You know, people would say about you
I don't usually
I,
have this rope as a belt. I usually have a normal belt. Today, you just caught me on a weird time.
Yeah, people would say about you and I what Jim Ross said about
Pure
the
gentleman.
Lightning Express, and that is, you know, these two guys, when they're driving down the road in their pickup truck, they might be listening to a little Charlie Daniels, maybe a little Hank Williams Jr.
Every once in a while.
They're just good old American boys.
Bo-Cephus, you know?
Bo-Cephus.
Gotta love it. You know what JR said that didn't make any sense?
What?
During that Sting match, this guy's like,
yeah.
This guy calls himself the Beastie Boy.
That's because last week, Sting made some like weird reference to fight for your right to party.
Did he?
Like he made a reference to the song and then referred, I don't know if he's referring to himself or referring to the band, but said Beastie Boy instead of Beastie Boys.
So JR
and
thought clear, that...
clearly, like, JR didn't catch the reference because he has no idea what the fuck
what
a Beastie
the fuck
Boys
the Beastie
is.
Beastie Boys are. So he's like, oh, I guess Sting's trying to get this Beastie Boy name over for himself.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah.
Help a youngster out and push that on commentary a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
When he said that, I was just like... No, JR, he doesn't.
No.
He's literally never referred to himself as the Beastie Boy.
Yeah.
And going forward, there won't ever be a time when he refers to himself as the Beastie Boy.
No. It would have been cool if like Dave Crockett was like secretly getting into hip hop and he's like, I kind of like this music. That'd I be, like these Beastie Boys.
They start making
Sting, we should call you the Beastie Boy.
They should start calling David Crockett the Beastie Boy. That'd be cool. They'd be like, oh, Tony Schiavone here with me is Beastie Boy. And he just starts,
hey, one lone beastie, I be Davy Crockett.
There you go. He just like starts wearing a little bit more bling every episode. Eventually, he's got some Adidas on.
Tony, I grabbed the piano player and I punched him in the face.
That would be a fun little comedy bit they could have done to get some mileage out of Davy Crockett. I feel like these people don't understand what a hilarious goon he is.
And like, how come no one ever tells him, like, when Cornette comes out, you need to try and keep a straight face?
Yeah, sure.
Instead, every time he's like, oh, this is going to be funny.
This guy's a heel. Don't be laughing at all his fucking put-downs on the good guys. You're supposed to like the good, except for when he puts down Dusty. He always gets a fire under his ass then.
Well,
man loves him some Dusty Rhodes, Matt.
Yeah.
That's it. I refuse to talk about anything else about this episode.
I think I had one more thing I wanted to talk about.
No, there's no way.
Yeah, nah. It doesn't matter.
Don't do that. Instead, we'll go to commercial.
Oh, Creepy Grandma loves Sting.
Creepy Grandma was into Sting.
Yeah, she loves Sting.
We'll come back. Maybe we'll do a three count. Maybe from we'll the Conjuring. Tell some more stories about weird people you meet in Indiana bars.
Talk about the Conjuring.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is Bill Elliott and the Coors Racing Team. Now, you might think we're sitting around here talking about hard work, determination, the winning edge, and all the skill it takes to make a great racing team and a great beer. Nah, we're talking about fast cars, pretty women, and easy drinking Coors.
But not necessarily in that order.
Uno, dos, Trace, Catorce.
Hello, hello.
This is Baby Oil and Blow.
Yeah, cool. I feel like we've done enough shout-outs to our boy Bono on this podcast so far, and that's something we've overlooked.
I'm going to work real bad about on it. An entire version.
Man, he's done so much for us.
Of All I Want Is You.
Uh-huh.
Baby Oil and
I want his blow.
Yeah. Just like the entire song.
Tell you what, I'm not usually one to blow drugs up my nose. I'm not really one into the illegal substances, these narcotics of all sorts, but right now, it could only help.
Yeah. I agree. I'm the illegals.
Give me a weird handful of 80s wrestler drug paraphernalia. Sure. I'll fucking down it all.
But, you know, this day and age, the illegals are unnecessary. Give me a rag of gas. True.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some spray paint in a paper bag.
Legal prescriptions. Some glue. You can get from a doctor that'll kill you just as easily as anything you get off the streets.
You don't have to be buying shit to get yourself in trouble. Come on.
You know, I was thinking about the local color.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up Lobo a little bit.
Ooh, yeah?
Yeah, Crown Point legend Lobo.
Yeah.
Mr. Lobozinski himself.
He was one of the first people that I know to point out that Undertaker was an actual Undertaker.
Well, yeah, he told us this.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird things, people have cornered us and told us.
Undertaker, real name Mark Callison.
That's right. He's from this town, he told us, here in Crown Point, Indiana.
Yep.
He's a local Undertaker.
Yep.
And he does still do funerals a couple times a week when...
Didn't he say, like, he saw him at some kind of, like, Undertaker convention at the fairgrounds?
He saw him at a lot of stuff because they're both kind of local celebrities.
Yep.
Also, there was a time when he was getting his ska band together, Fat Daddy-O's, and he told us about that.
Yeah, well, that was more so his buddy Squiggy.
His buddy Squiggy was in there.
Leaning in on that
one. It wasn't going to be anything cheesy with, like, synth horns. They were getting, like, real horns.
Yeah.
but they're thinking about calling the name the Fat Daddy-O's.
Well, how do they spell it?
Well, P-H-A-T is how they're going to spell it, though. They're gonna
not
have an A.
F-A-T, but P-H-A-T.
Also, Lobo, when I was a child, a man's been around for many years, was campaigning for mayor, and his number one platform was to raise the basketball hoops at the North Street Park up to regulation height because they weren't quite there. And he thought it was a mockery of this town, and we were all going to elect a, I don't know, man who's definitely had head trauma at some point in his life.
Wasn't he going to get rid of the police, too?
Oh, he may want to outlaw the police, but that's...
Get rid of the police and raise the height.
Who doesn't want to outlaw the police because fuck the police, you know what I'm saying?
Fuck the cops! I'm not all man. Cops can kiss my ass. All we are is assholes. I know, man, but... What's the matter with them? They mad because we get more pussy than they do.
Tim Lobozinski, a.k.a. Lobo. A little bit of local color.
I don't remember if you...
He's one of my favorites.
Recall this story. Back in my rock and roll days, we had that one shirt.
I'm still living my rock and roll days.
We had the one shirt that just had the crudely drawn robot on it. Do you remember that one at all?
Not really.
It was just this like hand-drawn robot. And he saw...
Got merch.
Saw one of our guys, one of our buddies wearing it one night. And he stopped him.
He's like, got something to say.
He's like, that's a pretty good robot. I've got 5 robot shirts myself. And that was
5 robot shirts?
That was it. Now, he's got that Terminator shirt, but he doesn't qualify as a robot shirt. That's a Terminator shirt.
Cybernetic organism, the Terminator.
Yeah, clearly.
His CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer. I don't count that as
I do not.
Does not fall into my...
No.
So the 3 count.
Yeah.
We had to pick one. We had to get through it. I figured we had a lot of dum-dums prancing around on this episode of WCW.
A lot of them.
Wiggling their hips and just being real idiots. So I'm like, what are the best male bimbos in 80s pro wrestling? I feel like there was a lot of them back then. You had a lot of people just doing the male bimbo gimmick. You know, I'm pretty to look at. I'm not much to talk to.
No.
I'm just out here. I'm doing my thing, and I think I'm great, and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. So I put together a list. I got... My whole crew of male bimbos.
Nice.
I'm thinking you put together a list.
I did. That's generally how this segment works.
I was thinking, why don't we get in here and we dig into our list and start talking about these male bimbos. Figure out what we like in a bimbo.
Take it up. Chop it down, you know?
Take it out. Buy it a steak.
Number one.
Introduce it to my mother.
On my list of biggest bimbo.
Who's your bimbo?
Of the 80s. You said it yourself. Good looking. Not much to talk about. Well, that was this guy's entire career. That's what it was based on.
Perfect.
He looked good.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't necessarily wrestle good.
Don't need to.
He looked good.
This is a TV game.
And he literally never had one thing to talk about. Terry Taylor.
Oh. He didn't really, yeah.
He's
tailor-made man.
He's bimbo by default.
He did not register to me as being a male bimbo, but you're right. He just went out there, tried to present himself as a pretty boy.
What's his gimmick?
And then that was
good,
it.
It's pretty good looking.
I think the reason he didn't really register me is because generally these bimbos at least do have a little bit of charisma about them, where they're able to like be like, oh, you know, I'm pretty and that's all I need to be. Look at me strut. Whereas like this guy couldn't even strut.
No, they just tried to have a whole career for him based on like he wrestles and
I'm an in-shape guy.
He's a good-looking guy.
I hope the ladies in the audience appreciate that.
I hope this connects.
Terry Taylor, what a boring wrestler.
Yeah.
They tried to make him like that computer man in the early 90s. I like that. Where it was like the man of the future or something. It was
computer
like,
computer man.
We've got a computer that's telling us all the moves we need to do.
Computer man.
What a stupid gimmick.
Yeah, a lot of his stuff was stupid.
But yeah, I'm going to...
That's because he was a bimbo.
Out of left field pick. Wow, that blew my hair back. I like it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Took me by surprise. My number 3... Also, another guy that's not a very good male bimbo, but there's a few things that set him apart and got him on my list. You're going to recognize him right away. He's a very famous man by the name of Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
Are you talking about number 2 on my list?
Okay, there we go, yeah. So, he's getting on my list, A, because he took the last name Beefcake, which is a cool thing. I've heard it so many times that it passes by my head and I don't think about it, but when you think about it, it's
the
like...
Beefer.
Beefcake is not a last name.
No.
You can't just use that as a last name, even if, like, that's your character's name. No one has ever had the last name Beefcake.
No.
He dressed like a male stripper.
Yeah, his original gimmick was he was a male stripper, but they just didn't acknowledge that he was a male stripper.
He just went out there and tried to have a nice body, and that was it. And wasn't a good wrestler, wasn't really much of a talker.
No.
But the thing that really puts him over is that he got by in his career, and he moved up the card, and he advanced by picking a more powerful man in the industry and then just sucking his dick for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's some real bimbo shit right there, man.
20 straight years.
In one of the pay-per-views, right? So, you know, Eddie Guerrero and me.
Make it work, man.
Man, we tore the joint down, man. Unbelievable, right? And because Eddie, I mean, that's back when I could still do my shit, my stuff, right? And we walked back there, and I'm stacked, and Kevin goes, God, that was great. And Beefcake, of all people, walks up to me and goes, what are you doing? I said, what'd you just say to me? He said, what are you doing? He said, you're working with Hulk on Sunday, and you gave him too much. I look at Beefcake, I said, you stupid son of a bitch. Who do you think you're talking to?
Right.
No, you remember that, Kevin?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Beefcake, actually, who's long gone now again, thank God. You know, Hulk can't give the guy $8 million and have him steal his jewelry and everything and still control him.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'll say it out loud.
You're just spilling the beans
today,
brother.
He stole Hogan's jewelry out of his house, you know?
That's your number two, huh?
Yeah, that was my number
two. Moving along. This list is working out great for us.
Yeah, you're going to have to find a lot of stuff to add to this show.
I'm going
to
do another one right here.
The Lakeshore, west of Pine Street, please.
Shut
up. Did you hear the Blue Jays score?
Yeah, they lost 5-2.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, and I know why they lost this game.
Why?
Let's just say that where I come from in Europe, certain people always made problems. Look, I'm not prejudiced, but I read. And those guys are always troublemaking.
Who, the Blue Jays?
Look, I said I'm not prejudiced. I just think they should stop trying to control everybody's lives.
Who are you talking about?
Get out of my cab.
What?
I said get out of my cab, you Serbian bastard.
I'm not Serbian.
Ah, that's what you all say. Get out of here before I beat your brains into pegs. Come on. Get out.
So you can do your two.
The mouthpiece of the Fabulous Freebirds, Michael P.S. Hayes.
Ooh, debated on putting him on mine.
This man... You might not think that he's a mimbo because he's so ugly.
And his gut.
But.
His soft body.
In his mind.
He's the hottest thing going,
man.
He thinks
he looks good.
Yeah.
He's all about strutting. He's all about just flipping his hair around. His gross fucking fried out hair.
The ladies loved it, though.
Convinced himself that he's a rock star and he could sing and cut an album.
And
that's how he knew himself.
The ladies.
Convinced himself that he looked good enough to have the cover of his album be him laying naked with the Confederate flag over his junk.
Yeah.
And like you said, his soft, hairy body. It was like somebody just...
If anything says, I will never fuck a woman of color, it's that right there.
The Confederate flag over your dick?
Yeah.
And there's probably some self-hating women down there in the South at the end of that, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, the bigger question, though, is are they going to be into, like, some hair clippings sprinkled over a bowl of vanilla pudding? Because this is what the man's body looked like. This is what you're seeing when you get in the bedroom with him. Basically, everything he did was just talking about how great he was. Even though he sucked in the ring, he was just all talk. He was all show. He thought he looked great, but he didn't. Total male bimbo, Michael PSA is doot. These days, like to this day, he's still wearing all those stupid sparkly suits
and
shit.
He's still dressing like a
walking around like he's a fucking pimp and shit. He's like a 75-year-old man. Now he's not even like doughy and soft. He's fucking round. Dude's fucking rotund.
Like, he had the Confederate flag draped over his naked body, and then he spent like the last 20 years 15 years trying to convince people that he's the blackest guy in the room.
I appreciate that.
Pick a lane, man.
You mentioned Michael Hayes, and, you know, in the WWE, there was an incident between him and Mark Henry. Did you get along with Michael back in WCW?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was there for that incident, and that didn't go down like people said. And here's the way. This was Orlando, Florida, WrestleMania. And Mark was at the bar, and Michael, I think Michael was at the bar too. And Michael, you know, sometimes he gets a little tipsy, right. You know, and he gets a little wilding out. But the only thing Michael said to Mark is that he had more in him than Mark had. And Mark got insulted about that. You know what I mean? And it just turned into something that it shouldn't have never been.
Michael PSAs, you're everything I love about bimbos and everything I love about just white trash fucking hillbilly
scum. The trashiest
scum.
White trash.
What else we got? We got more?
I got my number one.
Perfect.
What's a bimbo, Nate? Define it.
Airhead. Fucking, I picture him blonde hair usually.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spray tan. I'm picturing a lot of spray tan.
He's got some muscles.
Yeah, definitely. Male bimbos definitely have big muscles.
Maybe a history of bad decisions.
Okay.
You know? Getting duped.
that could make sense.
Yeah. Posing. You got to show the people.
I'm all about all this stuff, too. Your way of telling me that I'm a male bimbo?
Number one on my list, Nate Adams.
Ah, you dirty old dish rag. I didn't even see it coming. Yeah. I walked right into this.
You set it up. I knock him down.
This has been like a 31-week fucking setup, just building up to this moment. You could call me a bimbo on the internet. I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, speaking of,
you're not wrong.
Set up for a long, long time.
You are not wrong.
Like maybe being champion for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then your best buddy, who's 7'5", turns on you.
I don't even know anybody that tall.
Because he wants the championship.
How'd this happen?
I'm talking about the immortal one, Nate.
Hulk Hogan. I could definitely see the character of Rip in No Holds Barred being a bimbo, for sure. He was flashing a lot of cheek in that. But Hulk Hogan?
Hulkster,
the Hulkster?
Himself.
A role model to kids. You can't be telling me he's a bimbo.
He even in street clothes, he wore spandex.
Oh, man, that's very true.
Cheap gold showing over the shirt at all times.
That a lot, yeah.
Yep.
Ugh, it's all coming together.
You know, bandanas, because you don't want people to know you're bald.
Oh, yeah, you got to get rid of... Man, he's just so ugly.
Being in that Andre the Giant documentary, talking about...
doing that.
Wrestling Andre the Giant in 87 and claiming you had a full head of hair back then?
No.
Yeah.
Number one, no.
Delusions of grandeur. Check.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And he definitely took being a bimbo further than anybody else did in the 1980s.
Andre, you're my friend. What? You're not my friend? I'm going to cry. Oh, Macho Man, you're my friend. Oh, but I'm more concerned about this beautiful woman over here. What? Mm-hmm. This made you mad? Now we're not friends?
So much drama with Macho Man this week. All I did was carry Liz on my shoulder after she got her skirt ripped off, and then he's going ballistic, I swear.
Hulkster, you're a bimbo.
My number one, I had to throw some love. The prototypical 1980s bimbo male tag team. It was a thing they did over and over and over and over again. Just get two guys, you put them in fucking long-tailed tuxedo coats, and bow ties and top hats, and then make them strut around and just do what some 80s wrestling promoter's idea of what sexy is.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's super weird.
What?
I try to do it over and over again.
What, like 60-year-old Southern men think is sexy in the 80s is really weird.
Bare chests, tuxedo tails, bow ties, and top hats.
I don't know what the women want. Tuxedo coats and chest hair.
So I think I'm giving it to Stan Lane, but there's a lot of people I'm naming here in sort of a tie situation. He was in the Fabulous Ones, him and Steve Kern.
Steve Kern.
They did the greatest 80s bimbos promos ever. You can get on the YouTube, you can bing up that shit and just watch them.
Just image search it. Yeah, any picture of the two of them is just amazing.
Of them set to songs such as like You Dropped a Bomb on Me, or ZZ Top's Gimme All Your Lovin', or Sharp Dressed Man. Like, there's all sorts of them. And every one of these videos is just them in jeans and shirtless, like hanging all over each other in like a barn, or just like being in Speedos playing grab ass around a pool.
Yeah.
Or
like laying sexy in front of a sports car.
There's one where they're wearing like silk kimonos that are real short. And they're just like hanging cheek over under the bottom of them. And it's just like two studly buff guys just spending every waking moment of their day together, like lifting weights and admiring each other's. This is like the height of just heterosexual energy in the 1980s as far as wrestling promoters were concerned.
Yeah.
I wanted to shout out a little bit of love to Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers, the Fantastics as well, because they basically just ripped off the Fabulous Ones and did the same shit. They got all the same fucking sweet hype videos. But they were kind of like, you know, the Fabulous Ones had sort of beards and sort of some chest hair.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, clean shave and wax, they were like the twinks to the Fabulous Ones bears. So I like that because you get the Fantastics, you get the Fabulous Ones. You can get a little bit of each flavor, whatever you like, whatever gets your motor running.
Yeah.
But I'm giving it to Stan Lane overall because, you know, then he went to the Midnight Express and kept doing male bimbo stuff there.
Yeah.
He was all just fixing his hair and doing karate moves, which is great.
Yeah, that's cool shit. This episode tonight, where he undid the shoulder.
Oh, yeah, they had that one promo going.
Gown thing.
He had nothing to say, so he was just posing. Opened up his fucking, what is that weird shirt? Just made out of sequins.
Yeah.
Just fully made out of sequins.
Like those Velcro smocks.
Velcroed at the shoulder. Undo that Velcro a little bit. Let the ladies see that shoulder.
Little shoulder.
Shoulders like boulders.
But then,
look at my man nip.
Like an idiot, he couldn't put it back together.
Well, you know, it wasn't a very well thought out plan. He's a bimbo. Yeah. He doesn't have a brain in his head.
Luckily,
probably should have practiced these things.
Beautiful Bobby Eaton was there to fix it for him.
Gorgeous man. A little bit too smart to be a bimbo, I think, though.
Sweet Stan.
He's the brains of the operation.
Yeah.
Stan Lane's the bimbo. But that's, it was fair. An important part of 1980s wrestling, the male bimbo.
Yeah.
Going into the future, some Buff Bagwell, I feel like, was a good male bimbo of the 90s.
Buff Bagwell. Phenomenal.
Yeah, he really put it all together.
Yeah. His name was Buff, and he was the stuff.
The 2000s? I don't know. Is the male bimbo a lost art?
Or Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, yeah. I think of flowing locks when I think of a male bimbo.
Well, they all cut their hair.
But yeah, his little dumb nu metal tattoos and shit might be the new age version of what a male bimbo looks
Orton's
like.
Orton's never done or said one intelligent thing. I remember like when he originally started and he just had that like vaguely shaggy senior in high school hair.
Oh, man, he looked real good. You just pictured like a puka shell necklace around his neck.
Oh, hell yeah. Should've he kept getting those shoulder injuries.
And like cargo shorts. That should have been his gimmick.
I'm trying to think who else is up there.
Nobody's really prancing these days. I feel like there's a wide open opportunity for somebody to just do a lot of prancing. Next week, we're going to come at you.
Where?
New episode.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about primetime wrestling. You know,
we'll fall out.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot more. sorry,
get it out.
Starting to die here. It took everything I had to talk about this episode of WCW, but I'm gonna get a week to recover. We're gonna go back February 11th, 1988, primetime wrestling. Maybe we're gonna do some blow before it.
Hopefully,
it's gonna come together much better than this did.
Yeah,
right now, let's just put a pin in this one.
We got that big main event, Fallout. Don't forget. It's going to be nice.
Oh, yeah. We'll see what happens.
Plastic surgery. How much did it cost? Baby oil and blow.